Good morning. It's good to be with you today on this Wednesday morning as we continue together in our time in Joel. I heard, I think there was a little bit of miscommunication with one of the links yesterday and the video wasn't quite right. So I hope my IT department, i.e. me, gets that fixed today. So hopefully everything will work out well this morning. Today we're going to be in Joel chapter 2. We're going to read Joel 2, verses 1 through 17. Chapter 2 is broken up into two sections, so we'll read the first section, which is ends at verse 17. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. The day of the Lord's coming, it is near. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like blackness spread upon the mountains. A great and powerful army comes, like there has never been from old, nor will there be again after the ages to come. Fire devours in front of them, and behind them the flame burns. Before them the land is like the Garden of Eden, but after them is the desolate wilderness, and nothing escapes them. They have the appearance of horses, and warlike in their charge. As with the rumbling of chariots, they leap on the tops of mountains, like crackling flame of fire devouring the stubble, like a powerful army drawn for battle. Before them, peoples are in anguish. All faces grow pale. Like warriors, they charge. Like soldiers, they scale the wall. Each of them keeps its own course. They do not swerve from their paths. They do not jostle one another. Each keeps to its own track. They burst through the weapons that are not halted. They leap upon the city. They run upon the walls. They climb into the houses. They enter through the windows like a thief. The earth quakes before them. The heavens tremble. The sun and the moon are darkened, and the stars withdraw from their shining. The Lord utters his voice as the head of his army. How vast its number is its host. Numberless are those who obey its command. Truly the day of the Lord is great, terrible indeed. Who can endure it? Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and with weeping, with mourning. Rend your hearts, not your clothing. Return to the Lord, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. Who knows whether he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind, a grain offering, a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sanctify a fast. Call a holy assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the aged. Gather the children. Let the infants at the breast. Even the infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her canopy. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, weep. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord. Do not make your heritage a mockery, a byword among the nations. Why should it be said among the peoples, where is their God? Okay, so yesterday we saw this example of the locusts that were coming. Like, you know, this swarm of locusts that were going to just devour everything. Like, that they were just coming, and they were going to just destroy everything. Because in that culture, those subsistence farmers, you didn't want the locusts to come, because when the locusts came, they destroyed everything. So this is a terrible thing for the locusts to come. And so now the prophet is contrasting the army of locusts with the army that will come in judgment. So blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm, let the inhabitants tremble, for the day of the Lord's coming. It is near, a day of darkness. A great powerful army comes, fire devours, and behind them a flame burns. And so we see this notion that, okay, the locusts are bad, but you know what's worse than the locust? The day of judgment from God. I always think of something Dr. Nick said in seminary, so often. And I think this chapter reveals it quite well. Dr. Nick used to always say, let us cry out for mercy, not for judgment. He said, let us be very careful calling down for God's judgment, because the sovereign God of heaven comes with the angel armies, with his sword unfurled. None of us will be able to stand in that sight. He said, that is why we cry for mercy, not judgment. And I always think about that. Maybe I'm too sinful to want to call down a lot of judgment. You know, maybe that's just my problem. You know, maybe I'm just too sinful to judge, call down too much judgment. So I always like Romans 4:2-4. Do you not know you're driven to repentance by the kindness of Christ? I think God's love is our great source of power that leads to repentance. But today, we see what happens if God comes in judgment. We see, hey, it's going to be bad. These armies are going to come. The way it describes this battle, the God's army, like warriors, they charge. Each keeps its own course. They do not jostle. They leap upon the city. The earth quakes before them. And numberless is its host. And numberless are those who obey its command. I want you to think of like some of those Lord of the Rings battles. If you ever watch the Lord of the Rings movies, Battle of Helm's Deep and things like that, that's kind of how I just picture the vastness, the power of God's army. So when God comes in judgment, we don't want that. We don't want God to come in judgment because it's God's holy and different and huge and mighty and strong. So that's why he's saying when God comes in judgment, blow the trumpet, sound the alarm. And that's why I love verse 12. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Rend your heart, not your clothing. Return to God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and relents from punishing. Y'all, return to the Lord, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. He loves us, y'all. He loves us. And if we will turn, he will forgive. As great as any sin is, as great as any brokenness is, as great as any failure is, the Lord's mercy is greater. He is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relents from punishing. Who knows whether or not he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him? It says in 1 John, if we will confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Every morning, y'all, every morning we get the chance to start over. Every morning we get the chance for forgiveness. Every morning we get a fresh start. Every morning we get a chance to know his love. He loves you. I was talking with the staff about this yesterday, and this is something one of my professors said. He said, when we read the Bible, we see Genesis 1 and 2, where God made creation. He made humanity. He made us good, made us in his image. We see Genesis 3, we see the fall. We see the sin and the effect of sin and how sin broke everything, broke creation, broke us. We see that. We need to remember when we read the Bible, the Bible does not start in Genesis 3. It starts in Genesis 1 and 2. As great as sin is, as great as sin is, God's grace is greater. Grace, God's grace that is greater than all of our sin. Return to the Lord, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. That's good stuff, y'all. That's good stuff. That's the best of stuff. That God's grace comes. God's grace. Now, I love what it says in verse 17. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord. Do not make your heritage a mockery, a byword among the nations. Why should it be said among the peoples, where is their God? And that's one of the things I think it's interesting, and we see in the prophets and in the Psalms. Like, hey, God, like, forgive us, because somebody needs to praise you, and we will praise you, when you forgive us. And so, God longs to forgive us. God longs to forgive us. God longs to restore us. God longs to save us. If we will turn from our sin, turn from our brokenness, turn from our stuff, and just walk to him, he will meet us. There's an old song I love by a Christian group, Phillips, Craig, and Dean, Mercy Came Running. Mercy comes running, y'all. If we will turn, mercy comes running. So today, no matter what you're struggling with, no matter what brokenness you feel in your life, no matter what pain you feel, no matter what hurt, no matter what loss, no matter what failure, no matter what you deal with, mercy comes running. Mercy comes running. Today you are through Jesus Christ, you can be forgiven. You can know that forgiveness. Know who you are. You're made in his image. You're loved. He will forgive. He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in love. His mercy comes running. So today, know how much he loves you. Live in his grace. Live in his mercy. Hey, love you guys. Thanks for being with us. Hope you have a great rest of your day. And tomorrow, we'll pick up with Joel chapter, the end of chapter 2. And there's not a whole lot. You know, we got a few more sections in Joel. So good stuff. So thanks for being with us. We'll see you in the morning. Have a great day.